Paul Gallivan has a great record, a great sporting record, and we delved into a lot of that. So sit back and enjoy Paul talking about his sporting life and times.
Well, Paul, congratulations on what has been an absolutely tremendous year for you. Is it a bit of a fairy tale now?
Yeah, thanks, Wisha. Yeah, it's been a great year, and I suppose it's only now the last couple of days maybe that it's kind of sinking in, and I suppose there is something of the fairy tale element to it, I suppose, yeah. But at the same time, look, Kerris, what Kerry are all about, it wasn't about me as such, like, you know, that was a kind of a sideshow really for other people, but Kerry are back in it. Kerry won another All-Ireland, which is really what Kerry football is all about, so that was the main story of the year, and it was fantastic.
I remember you making a statement to me in the dressing rooms in Croke Park last year after you beat in Cork, and you said it was more important than life and death and things like that. Was meeting Cork this time, was it just as important to beat him? Was there an awful lot hinging in it?
Everything was hinging on it, no more than 07, really. Like, you know, it was just, I was actually just chatting with Gooch last night, and, you know, we were just saying, like, that the 35 All-Irelands that had gone previous for Kerry, you wouldn't write off, but would probably be, or certainly my previous three All-Irelands would probably be tarnished had we lost again, you know, to Cork. That's the way I looked at it going in anyway. I think there was an awful lot. Anytime you meet Cork in an All-Ireland final, there's so much riding on it, like, and we just couldn't afford to lose that game, you know.
Was there ever times during the year, Paul, when you thought that you weren't going to make it? It was looking bad, you were staggering along nicely, but they were very hard games too.
We were. I suppose there was a few stages where we kind of looked as if we were on our last legs, and a lot of people kind of had written us off. But for myself, I had just been in good form personally, playing wise, and I was enjoying the year, and I felt like I knew that if we could get our legs to Croke Park, that it would be a big thing for us. Luckily, we just about got there. We just about got to Croke Park, and as it turned out, it energised us a bit. But certainly, the big thing for us every year is getting up there. Like, we feel that it brings a lot more out of us up there, you know. So, but at times, it looked hairy, no doubt. But sure, we just had to hold tough and believe in ourselves a bit more. And there are the times you have to really stand up. There are the times that really, this group kind of would pride ourselves on, you know, fighting through those tough times, like, and getting up to Croke Park to play play in the big games. But that's the time you have to really show your stuff, like, when maybe you're against the ropes, like, you know.
You mentioned there the previous 35 All-Irelands. You give me the impression of being very conscious of the history of Kerry, and you give me the impression of being very proud of your heritage.
Oh yeah, it's a big thing for me, like, and I'm extremely proud of Kerry football and the tradition of Kerry football. It counts for a lot on those days, you know. When you go to Croke Park and you might meet a team, maybe you'll meet Cork, or you'll meet, you know, tradition is a very powerful thing, and it's a very subtle thing, and you can't really put your finger on what it is, but it came to play against Dublin. No doubt about it, that was everything that was great in Kerry football that came out on the field that day, you know. There wasn't just the 15 of us, but sometimes you get the feeling that every Kerry footballer that went before you was on the field as well at times, which you're like, and I certainly felt it that day, and it's a very powerful thing, and it's something I'm very proud of, and I'm very proud to be a Kerry footballer, like, you know. That jersey is a special jersey, like, and every time you pull it on, you're privileged, like, you know.
When you were very small, Paul, who was the, what Kerry footballer were you?
86 final, I have a vague memory of the 86 final, my mother roaring at the TV during the Kerry Tyrone final. That was kind of the first time I'm conscious of it as a young fella, but see, it's hard for me to put my finger on who stood out. Like, I remember Jimmy Deanahan as a young fella, Jimmy Deanahan giving a coaching session in Fanuig one time. And I wouldn't really have been conscious of Jimmy at that age. I was maybe 10 or 11 or so. And I didn't really know him, to be honest. Like, Eamon Breen, I suppose, was the first fella. When I was about 16, 17, I really became conscious of who Kerry footballers were. And, like, Eamon Breen was, I started playing with Eamon, and I remember seeing him at maybe 14 or 15 playing a game at Fanuig against Brick Rangers, and that was the first time, I suppose, it kind of got a hold of me. He stood out on the field, and I admired his style of play, and I was wondering, it got into my head then, I was wondering, when I saw him play that day against Brick Rangers, that was kind of the first time I said to myself, this is kind of Kerry football, you know, and there's something. But I suppose, really, it didn't. Dara then was another fellow who kind of grabbed my attention as I got older, but it was only when I was a minor, really, an under 21 that I kind of realised that maybe I could make a go of it, like, you know.
Would you be conscious of, we say, Mick O'Connell now and Mick Dwyer, and you'd have come into contact with Johnny Culty of that era, going back to the 50s and 60s? Would those people influence you still?
Of course, I would have been. When I got older, of course, every kid in Kerry. And I mean, I of course, you'd be conscious of the great Kerry team and all. Now I'm very conscious of it. And as I got older, I became very conscious of it. When I was younger, I probably wasn't as aware of it. But of course, Mick O'Connell, Johnny Culty was a guy who had a big influence on me from the contact when I was 20. Very, very, what would you say, kind of understated man. Doesn't force himself, doesn't force his opinion on anybody. But when he speaks, then it's always very wise, kind of very experienced and calm guy, very calm guy. And I found him great. I remember when I started out in 04, I got dropped after a couple of games under Jack, like, and I was kind of scratching my head as well. But I remember Johnny giving me a phone call one evening. And, you know, just settling me down and keeping me on the straight and narrow and telling me you'll be fine and you'll come again, like, and you'll get another chance and we're not forgetting, you know. Mick O'Connell and Mick O'Dwyer, obviously, like, are huge figures in Kerry football still.
Of course, what we're talking about here, Paul, you're talking about Culty ringing you and things like that, he's a personal friend of mine. You're talking here about the handing down of tradition. This is what Kerry football, really, you're touching the core of it here now.
Oh, yeah. And those guys, like, Kerry football doesn't belong to any one of us. It's something that we have to mind. And during the year, it was mentioned during the year as well when we were struggling that, you know, maybe when Sligo nearly beat us and Antrim nearly beat us, we were very much aware that we had a big responsibility, I suppose, really, and to throw in fighting. If we were to go down at all, we were going to go down fighting, like, because it is a big responsibility, and we are only minding the jerseys for the next guy, and I'm only minding my shirt for the next young fella that comes along and takes it off me, like, and that'll happen. That's what happens in Kerry football, and you just move on, and you do your as best you can for while you're there. And those guys did it, better than anybody back in their day, and they're still, obviously, Johnny is still very much involved in Kerry football, and Mick Owen and Mick O'Connell and all those fellas. But you're right, that's what it's about. It's about you're just doing your part for now, and someone else will do it, you know.
Paul, turning to a very serious topic in your life, last year and your exploits on the field have been well documented, and we're not going to be going into them because you went on national television and in 6-1 News and you apologised. But outside of that now, and Paul Gallivan, away from that and all that time when you were suspended and then it was up again and all that crack was going on, that must have been a very, very difficult, upsetting time for you and for your family. And what kind of support did you get locally?
Yeah, it was, of course. It was, of course. Like, I mean, it took a bit of time. It took a bit of time for it to dawn on me, actually. That I was in as much trouble as I was in, kind of, you know. I wasn't aware of kind of how serious it was for some reason. But, the first thing I had to do was just accept responsibility and accept. No, I would have strong feelings on other issues that happened on the day and other issues that happened subsequently, which I won't go into now. But like, for me, there was no point in me going around pointing the finger at anybody. I had to take my medicine and accept responsibility for it, which I did. But it was very tough. It was very tough. Obviously, it was very tough for my family. Like, a lot of things happened behind the scenes, that, you know, should not have happened. Like, you know, which were very unfair to people around me. Like, you know, and there was a lot of. You know, still, I find it difficult to understand some of the things that happened, like, and that's another, like I say, it's not something I go into now, but I mean, the support I got from Kerry people was just unbelievable, and it's a hard thing to try and express for me, the gratitude I feel towards people who did back me up, like, so I said, you know, the best thing to do is go out in the field and try and show my family and my close friends and the Kerry people in general, because I got hundreds of letters, not only from Kerry people, but I got hundreds of letters from all over Ireland, and I wrote back to a lot of them. I tried to write back to as many people as I could from all parts of the country.
Now, so we're going back to the interview with Paul, and I thought there the one thing that I loved about it, the one little snippet was of the whole thing was, he said when they went out to Croke Park to play, that he said you'd feel that everybody that had played in Croke Park with Kerry were with you that day. I think more than anything else, that sums up the history of Kerry.
It was a very funny letter from a man. It was a very funny letter from an elderly man from Wexford. I don't remember his name now, but he wrote me a long letter anyway, expressing his unswerving support to me. and how the incident that happened was, I was wronged in the incident, and the ref and the linesman and the whole lot, and he signed it off then that he was 8 years old and blind. So I was wondering where he was getting his, where he was getting his news from. But anyway, like, I was thinking to myself after, even a blind man could see, but anyway, that was just one of the funnier ones I got. But yeah, I really, just speaking to you today, Wish, I just wanted to do it to thank the people really that carry support, who never really, or not to my face anyway, we'll say, not to my face anyway, it meant an awful lot. Jack O'Shea, and who never, you know, about once a week he'd ring me, or once a fortnight he'd ring me, and just to have a chat and see how I was. I always knew Jacko was a great footballer, but, you know, he's probably an even greater man, like, in my eyes. Like, he was really a rock of strength for me at the time. And, you know, all over the county, it was fantastic, the backing I got, and hopefully that this year will act as maybe a bit of a thank you back.
This year, talking about this year, Paul, you're a transformed footballer in many ways. I mean, you're exemplary in the field of play. Your play is probably better than it ever was. Two things. Do you think that a little bit of you physically, did you come back fresher? I always said and I felt that Paul Gallivan came back very fresh and that it suited him to have been suspended. And also, do you find that what players in the field try to grig you and to get you going?
Well, I suppose all through the suspension last year, I never stopped training. I trained all through it, and even though I probably felt deep down, I didn't really know if the reward was going to come last year. I felt it was going to be difficult for us to win the All-Ireland. My own situation was at par at work last year, this year, and my fitness was very good, and my fitness is the important part of my goals. 07 and 08, I probably wasn't as fit as I could have been, but... So, yeah, it certainly helped me this year. As regards the opposition, look, you get it a bit, Wishy, you get it a bit, but not for the most part. You get a bit of it, but I mean, it's part of the game. It's part of the game. You just have to deal with it. Sometimes I don't deal with it well. More times I deal with it, I have no problem dealing with it, but, you know, there are days then you mightn't be as tuned in as you should be, and you might react to it. But, yeah, look, I mean, to be honest with you, for the most part this year, I would have had no great problem with opposition. I think they showed a lot of fellas want to play the game for the most part, and they don't get involved in that kind of stuff. It happens now and again, but, you know, sure, look, I've got involved in stuff myself. I wouldn't be pointing the finger at opposition at all. You know, you do what you have to do, and I have a lot of respect for a lot of the fellas I came across this year that they went out and played football, and they didn't. It could have been a lot worse for me this year, like.
Now, so, how many people realise that Paul Gallivan was on an All-Ireland winning team against Tyrone? Everybody's talking about great Tyrone footballers, but most people would not know that he was on a team that beat Tyrone in an All-Ireland final, and I asked Paul about that.
That's right. My first All-Ireland football medal, I'd say, was 97 of Vocational Schools All-Ireland against Tyrone of Stephen O'Neill, and I think Kevin Hughes played, and I think about four of them went for, I think Brian McGuigan or Frank McGuigan played. Both of them possibly, but about four of that team went down to win All-Irelands with Tyrone. But we had a very strong Kerry team at the time, and we beat them in Parkycleeve, actually, the day Kerry beat Cork in the league final, 97. So that was my first All-Ireland football medal, yeah, against them. And obviously,
who's training you, Paul?
Billy Curtin, inside in the taking tree. Billy and Seamus Murphy was involved from Blennerville, and there was a few other fellas. There was Jerry Riney, I'd say, and George Dennis. Willie Dowling, my own club man, was involved. So yeah,
a great man, Willie Dowling.
Great man. I go way back with Willie from when I was a young fella hurling with Lixna, and like Willie is like myself. He you might follow with him now and again, but you know, we'd be good friends. I'd be good for his son Patrick. Now would be one of my best friends, but Willie and myself go way back. He's been brilliant for Lixna Hurling Club, really. He's kept going there at times where it's probably on its knees, you know. And so he was involved that day. And look, we had a very good team, really. We had Trevor McKenna, my own club mate, was involved. And we had Martin Beckett, yeah, was a big player on that team. We had Liam Murphy from Gunnigal, and Michael Dee, and, you know, we had Enda Galvin, my other club mate, John Shukru, was midfield. So we had a strong team. And we won a good All-Ireland that year. It was a very tough one, All-Ireland, actually, yeah.
You have a remarkable record at underage, Paul. You played 3 years under 21 and 2 years minor. I don't think you won an All-Ireland undergrade, but you had a remarkable run.
I had a good run, I suppose. I was with the minors in 96, but I didn't make the panel for the summer. I was a full minor in 97 and we were beaten by Tyrone. And my under 21s, I had a couple of years under 21s, right? We lost the final with Jack, actually. Jack and Johnny were involved, I think, and Westmeath beat us in an All-Ireland final in Limerick, which was a big disappointment at the time. But possibly looking back at it now, it was possibly a turning point in Jack's managerial career was certainly a turning point in my football career, because I was taken off early that day, and I still remember it as being bitterly disappointing to lose and to be taken off and to not perform on the day. And to the day I often refer to back when I'm played before big Kerry games, and I was a senior. I think you don't want that feeling of being taken off and beaten and put on the.
And then, of course, you went on, then you got on the Kerry senior team. But in the meantime, then you were playing a lot of hurling. You won 3 county championships with your club. And did you ever play with the Kerry Hurlers, by the way?
I did. I played with the Kerry Hurlers under PG O'Grady one day. PG rang me and Kerry were playing Wicklow in Nina. And I lined out wing back for the senior team. That was my only game with the seniors. But I really enjoyed it. Had a great day out. I think Wicklow, I can't remember, it was a very close game anyway, and a very tough game. Those Wicklow lads were tough. They weren't sparing us, but I played one senior game. I played a lot of under 21. Won an Ireland under 21 B hurling medal above in Croke Park the day of the famous sit-in protest. Yeah. We beat Kildare. Well, it was supposed to be played that day, but it was called off after because of the sit-in, and we played it the following Sunday and beat Kildare in an All-Ireland under-21 final. Hurling is a big part of my life. Always, when I was young, hurling was my game, really. Won the few three county championships with Lixnaw.
Did they mean an awful lot to you, Paul? I presume. I see you winning a couple of them. You came on and won them yourself, and you won it for them. You seem to love the hurling. Did you have any difficulty in giving it up, more or less, than you were a dual player?
I did. I love the hurling, and those championship medals are up there with my All-Ireland medals, really. Like, they meant an awful lot, because, like I say, I won them with a gang of lads I grew up from all the way up to senior. Great friends, a lot of the lads on that team, and they do mean an awful lot every time you win one, and I would hope to win a few more before I finish playing, but the hurling gives me great satisfaction. It's hard to me not playing and seeing the boys play away and you're not being involved with that. Like, obviously you can't do that. Like, if you're going to be playing Kerry football, you just can't do the hurling, unfortunately. I got a few occasions when Kerry, the championship ran beyond the football championship, so I was able to play with the lads, but this year didn't work out. Got beaten early by Abby Dorney in the championship and went out. So there was no opportunity to play this year, but hopefully in the next couple of years I'll get a couple of more.
How satisfying was the goal you scored for Fenwick in the All-Ireland club final against Stewartstown when your club won the All-Ireland?
That's right.
How do you rate that win? Because I know, coming from a small club in the Legion myself, that God, the one thing that I'd love most of all was to see my club winning in All-Ireland. It must be a great dream come true for you.
It was a fantastic day. I remember that day well, yeah. We had a good win on the day against Tyrone, another Tyrone team. Got a nice goal, got a nice old goal. I don't get too many, but I remember that one, all right. Maurice Leahy training us, another man I have a lot of respect for. Maurice Leahy trained that Fenwick team, great Kerry hurling man, trained me from when I was a young fella in primary school at hurling. Superb coach and just infectious enthusiasm for and passion for hurling and Kerry hurling, and a guy I have a great deal of time for. Trained us that day, had a great win to win with my friends again. Like, you know, like you say, we should, the club is everything at times, and you know, those wins are often sweeter than any, you know.
You dabbled in soccer. You played with Cork City for a day. Tell us about, how did that come about, and how did you enjoy that?
I did. I was a ball boy down here, and I was suspended from the GAA for a few months, unfortunately. So I was working in Cork, and I wanted to keep my fitness up. And instead of being travelling down for a few months training with Kerry, I said I'd train above Salahan and Neil Horgan there that were playing. And they had just won the league. They were a good team. I was just chatting to Terry Dunn, actually, a few nights ago. Terry was involved as chairman of Cork for a few years. He's living down in Tralee now. But that was the team I had come into to train, but were an excellent team. Jeez, they had a lot of guys. Kevin Doyle is in England now. George is in England. And Roy O'Donovan is in England. Joe Gamble was with the Irish squad. Alan Bennett has gone to England. Denny Murphy has gone to England. He's back again now. They were a really good squad. Neil Finn, who played with Spurs, like, really good team they were. And they were good lads. It kept me fit. And I don't think it was ever going to go any further than keeping the old fitness and sharpness up, you know.
And only for soccer, Kerry mightn't have won the All-Ireland this year, because Mike McCarthy kept himself fit playing soccer with Castle Island. Correct. And he was in superb shape, and only for that he probably wouldn't have come back and I wouldn't be sitting down here talking to you.
Too right. He's a mighty Mike Mack, I must say. He was absolutely brilliant all year, but, you know, aside from his on-field performances, he's a very, very good guy off the field, very proud man, and a very, you know, very strong character, like, and he's a great guy to have around. Hopefully now we'll have him for a couple of more years, but the soccer kept him very fit. It kept him fitter than a lot of us, and we playing football in the meantime. But we have great lads. Another thing I just wanted to mention was the teammates I have, like, are absolutely fantastic guys that I you know, people were questioning our loyalty to each other early on in the year and our commitment to each other, but they're a group of lads that I would do anything for, and I would hope that they similarly would do anything for me. And, like, you know, you get support from your teammates and you get support from people, but support can come in different forms. Like, and it mightn't always be the pat on the back and good man, you're right. Support can often come from a bit of harsh talking and a bit of straight talking and a guy telling you you're out of order and pull your socks up, and that can often mean more than a pat on the back or an old hand around the shoulder, you know.
Jack O'Connell is a good man for that. I spent an hour with him last week in Terrace Talk, and we were discussing this side of his aspects. He's ruthless, he can be cranky, but he's some operator.
He is, he's all that. He's tough. And if Jack, the great thing about Jack for me is that, like, you know, he's fierce, he's a serious intuition for people and how to get at people and how to deal with people, and he really gets the best out of guys, and I find him great. Like, but I mean, the other thing too is he's no problem telling you straight up if you're out of order and if you're out of line, he'll tell you, and he'll act accordingly. Like, and I mean, sometimes he feels that, you know, he just knows how to deal with people very well, and that's his biggest strength, I think.
He said in the interview I did with him last week that he'd like to see some of his players going away and getting married and settling down, because he said they'd add a few more. Anything in the horizon for Paul Gallivan?
Jack, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going out with a lovely girl now at the moment, so. We'll see. I suppose I'm 30 in a few weeks' time now, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore, I suppose. So I don't know. Jack is a couple of the younger fellas there now. I think he's trying to settle him down. There's a few of them a bit wayward. I think I'm the kind of guy now they need to be coming to for a bit of advice to how to behave themselves, I think.
Now we go back to have another little piece from Paul Gallivan there, and I asked Paul about playing with Ireland, and this is what he said.
As such, there's no physical location for Field Rangers, but it's a kind of a spirit, and like most divisions, it's a kind of a spirit. And like, I'd be very proud of the Field Rangers era of the Horst Kennelly and Jimmy Dean, and you know, they made Field Rangers put them on the map as such, like in the Mulvihills and all those men, like, and that has kind of been revoked for us, like, and we have a bit of spirit going, like, wherever that'll take us, I don't know, but at least it's a good dressing room to be in again anyway. There was times there where it was a bit of a shambles at times there for a couple of years, but we've got a bit of spirit going in, which is important for Field Rangers, and I don't know where that'll take us. We've a very tough one next Sunday against the champions, like, and we'll have it all to do to try and get over that one. If we can, we might be competitive again, but we were very, very lucky to come out of Kinmare last Sunday, like, you know.
I was a division man myself, Paul, playing with East Kerry for many years, so why I'm asking you is, only for Field Rangers would your progress not have been as what it has been. Maybe you mightn't be here today only for Field Rangers. Is that a kind of a foolish statement?
No, very true, very true. I mean, I would have got noticed with Field Rangers for minor football and for under-21 football, so it definitely was a platform for me. I played in that county final in 99, and, you know, like, Jesus, you were playing against the Seamus Moynihans and the Johnny Crowleys and the Mike Macks and all these established Kerry footballers, so playing with Stephen Stack and Eamon Breen and Noel Kennelly, who were Kerry footballers at the time. So that was, Field Rangers has always been great for me. I would have a much better scoring record for Field Rangers than any team I've played for.
Well, just before we finish with that interview with Paul, I can tell you that he has a tremendous career. Jack O'Connell, the Kerry manager, joined us on the line. Jack, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Richard.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Good programme again this evening.
Thank you, Jack. You wanted to pay your tributes there to Paul, I presume, Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. We see, you know, if any man epitomises the spirit and the heart of the Kerry team at the moment, it's Paul Gallivan. And, you know, a lot of fellas thought that his career was over after last year. And, you know, the way he bounced back and, you know, the way he, I suppose, behaved himself this year and was an absolute model of consistency throughout the whole year was amazing. You know, I'm just delighted for him because he's a much maligned man and a much understood man as well, Rishi, because I reckon this, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, he's a fiery character and all the rest of it, but this man really thinks about football and takes the game very seriously, so I'm absolutely thrilled for the way the year worked out for him.
I suppose, Jack, it would be or it wouldn't be fair to say that Kerry mightn't have won all Ireland's without him, without, not speaking about any individual year, but they mightn't have won all Ireland's without Paul Gallivan.
Absolutely, Rishi, and I remember a few years ago some journalist described him as the poor man's version of Brian Doher. Well, I think, you know, Paul Gallivan doesn't have to be, you know, compared with anyone. Yeah. No, he's worked out his own niche and in the game, and just a tremendous character you know, a fellow I know that you go to battle with any day. So absolutely thrilled for the way it's worked out for Paul this year. And you know, there was just one blip in his copybook this year. That was above in the replay in Park of Cleveland. And I think, you know, in hindsight now, I think everybody knows that Paul was a bit hard done by that day. And even the way he bounced back from that, and was exemplary for the rest of the year, was testament to the guy's character. So absolutely thrilled for him, because he went through a lot last year, being captain of the team and being forced to sit watch here from the sideline for most of the year. So an unbelievable, turn about for him, and I suppose it epitomises the way Kerry's year turned out as well. So delighted for him, was you.
And Jack, finally, the one thing that came out to me speaking to him and Jordan was his tremendous love for the and the passion and what Kerry football is all about. All that, something very special in any person.
Yeah, you see, they're very passionate about their football and hurling, even up in North Kerry. And, I know his father, Jimmy, and his mother, and they're very passionate people. And, they were very hurt last year as well over the way things worked out. So, it means an awful lot to the family and an awful lot to his people up there. So, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I think, there's a bit left in Paul Gallivan yet. And hopefully we see a bit left in the Kerry team as well.
Yeah. Jack, as always, nice talking to you.
Good man, Rishi. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jack. Bye-bye. Jack O'Connor there, paying a lovely tribute to Paul Gallivan. And to finish up, Paul wanted to pay his tribute to the people where he works. He's a teacher in St. Brendan's College in Killarney. Took time off to do the interview with me, and he had this to say about the people that he works with.
I must mention the guys over the same. I've a fantastic bunch of colleagues in the same staff that really helped me out a lot in terms of covering me for classes anytime I need to get away for games or anything like that.
Our interviews
with yourself and the like, yeah. And I really enjoy it over there. My boss Ed O'Neill is good to me, and there's a few lads, there's the whole staff room is brilliant. I'd be close with the lads, the same team here in Lee Clifford, and we're putting a bit of time into the same lads here now at the moment, hoping that we might be able to maybe enjoy a bit of success down the line with the
Jack has started training.
I do, and he's got a very strong team down there, even though he's playing the poor mode about those Skellige lads, but I know they're a lot better now than what he's saying, so they'll be the favourites, and the Green I know are very strong, so we're not bad. We've talent, but we've work to do on our lads to see if we can mould them into some kind of a team and see if we can be competitive, because the Corneverie is in the Hogan Cup is very, very competitive. Like we had a very good team 2 years ago and didn't manage to win it, with a lot of fellas who are under 21s now and touching on the senior panel, a few of your club mates with James now. Young James is a serious talent, Podge, and young Lyon is a very, very good young player, so we weren't able to win it with a very good team, so I hope, remains to be seen if we can enjoy some success with these current bunch now.
So we can see you in the sim for a good few more years anyway.
Oh, yeah,
you might even transfer into the Legion, wouldn't you?
I don't know. No, I won't be doing that. No, I don't think. But yeah, I'm happy out here, Weesh. Yeah, it's a good place to work, and it's good to be back in Kerry. I spent years in Cork, and it was time to come home to the motherland and settle down a bit.
Paul, I want to thank you for taking time out to talk to me, and you said in the middle of the interview there that support comes in different ways without even talking to you. I would hope that this interview that I did with you now today would show our support to you in certain ways. So listen to me, keep up the good work, don't change anywhere, and the best of luck, and we could be talking about someone who's put the best of luck in your life.
Thanks very much, Wishy, I appreciate that, thanks.
Tighe line just wide, and that's a close effort gone in there.
Yes, indeed. Gary Tighe line got the ball turned around, gave it out to Paddy Sheehy. Paddy Sheehy had the opportunity for a point, but pulled it very badly wide. He'd be disappointed with that.
Galway attacking. Johnny Cullity has come out, and I don't know how that one stayed out just on the line. How come that wasn't a Galway goal?
That was a very lucky escape for Kerry. The ball was pitched across the face of the goal. Cullity came out to clear the ball. The ball was whipped out of his hands, went across the face of the goal, and was eventually kicked wide. I can tell you, the Killarney Legion men will be happy to see that go wide, because it very nearly finished into the back of the net.
Well, a let off there for Kerry attacking. This is Young going through the right half forward, and he tips it over the bar. But Kerry are back. And that's made it, and Mick O'Connell, she has gone through with a great score.
Yeah, that was a lovely point by the Valencia Island man there. He's the captain of the Kerry team today. He went right through, popped the ball off, took the pass from Dan McAuliffe. Great point by O'Connell.
Chance here now, Kerry going through. Farrell has lost it on the goal, and it's gone in. The green flag is up, and it's a goal for Kerry.
Yes, indeed. A big high ball came into the square. Johnny Farrell, the Galway goal, and Dan McAuliffe, the doorman, came in, and he hit Farrell, older on the goal line, knocked the ball out of his hand, went over the ball. You can hit the goalkeeper. He hit him fair and square. Goal for Kerry.
Galway going through again.